stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Broadcasting live to you today on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340. As always, podcast is uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air. As always, the Periscope is streaming live right now on Twitter and Facebook. You can go and check out the Fan Run Radio app, as well as fanrunradio.com. Hey, it's a beautiful morning out. We're here in studio. It is July 1st, so finally flip to the next month on the calendar. And it's 10:25 a.m. A little bit of a late start to the show. By about a quarter. And I gotta totally be upfront about this. This was completely on me. 1,000%. So my apologies.
As
Brandon, mainly to you.
As Fish would say.
Uh-oh.
Better Jake than Lever.
Oh. Better Jake than Lever. Yeah, yeah. He did say that one time. Legitimately, too. One of the more surprising ones. But, not to spend more than 10 seconds on it. It was one of those... One of those things where, everyone's been there. You wake up, you realize in your head that, you know, something's off, something doesn't seem right. You flip over your phone, you realize what time it is, and you have no explanation. Your alarm is off, you have no explanation. You I guess, at some point turn off. So, Brandon, my apologies. Late start to the show today, but it's just you and I. Just you and I.
Just the two of us.
Logan is, Logan's out, Chance is out. So you just got us here today.
Just the two of us.
I'm feeling pretty good. How are you feeling?
I'm pretty good.
All right.
Doing pretty good.
Well, I guess it would be decently inappropriate for me to be the one to give the rundown today, considering I had just walked in the door. I was not the one to do the work today or anything like that, kind of getting the story. So I got to turn it over to you. What is kind of on the menu today?
The NBA had some, Adam Silver had some interesting comments about, some things that they're maybe considering in Orlando that I personally think is a terrible idea.
Okay. I also saw that he kind of spoke out for the first time publicly sharing the idea that, hey, things could still change with the upcoming season. And I guess maybe some of these colleges have as soon as they kind of shut down or went on suspension, but I don't think we've had a professional organization yet publicly speak out and saying, hey, you know, we still could change if things get worse.
The minor league baseball has canceled their 2020 season, so there will be none of that. We'll get into that. And what that means going forward for some of those prospects and teams.
Okay.
And North Carolina, football, not basketball, football.
Okay.
Got a big-time recruit yesterday. Number one ranked cornerback in the country. But do you know what today is, Rick?
Today is July 1st.
It is July 1st.
It is also a Wednesday.
It is a Wednesday. But, Rick, as a Mets fan, it's a very...
This
is a hurtful, this is a painful day every year.
That's right. So you're going to have to explain this one to me in better detail. I saw this on Twitter kind of as I was coming in, and I knew that it had been explained to me last year, I guess on this date, but I couldn't remember the entire story correct. So what is it about today?
So today is Bobby Bonilla Day. He has not played for the Mets since 2001, I want to say. But every year, on July 1st, he gets a nice fat check of $1.19 million every July 1.
That is just unfathomable.
Until 2035.
Oh, my God.
We're not even halfway through. We're not even halfway through the payments.
So for 24 straight years, $1.19 million?
Yes, from 2011 until 2035.
Just smack dab in the middle of the year.
Yep.
Wow, wouldn't that be nice?
In 2000, the Mets agreed to buy out the remaining $5.9 million on Bonilla's contract. However, instead of paying Bonilla the $5.9 million at the time, the Mets agreed to make annual payments of nearly $1.2 million for 25 years, starting July 1st, 2011, including a negotiated 8% interest at the time. Mets ownership was invested in a Bernie Madoff account that promised double-digit returns, and the Mets were poised to make significant profit in, if the Madoff count delivered. But as you can probably tell, it did not.
So, rewind for a second. Now, let me get this straight. And I might be wrong because this kind of sounds crazy. But is this really how it went? So, they basically had the option, I guess, in 2000 to just pay him $5.9 million straight up.
Yes.
Right? Or, basically, somebody came along. They said, I have found a loophole. Or, we can just pay him $1.2 million for 25 straight years, but we get to wait 11 years to do so, to start doing so.
It just seems like a... It doesn't make sense.
Like, yeah, I mean, after the... I mean, I guess it would be the fifth or the sixth year, whatever. You are losing. You're losing your money. You're paying more than you would have originally. That's crazy to me that waiting 11 years to them, I guess, at the time. And I don't get how it's talking about that Bernie Madoff account or anything like that. Like, I sure as heck don't know anything about that. But what a ridiculous agreement.
Well, it is the Mets.
So that's brutal. Your team is team just threw out a good million, $1.2 million.
I'm sure they've got this set aside for each time this rolls around every year.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're just...
That's probably a good point.
They just got it. They're ready. Such terrible ownership. It's getting better. We're selling the team. The Wilpons are selling the team.
What happened to A-Rod and J-Lo?
It fell through, but they're trying again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm hopeful that they'll get it.
Huh.
Just need something else.
I wonder what would have... I wonder what made them... I know it's probably out there somewhere. I can easily go find it, but I wonder what made them stop the first time that, you know, they felt good enough to go about it one more time.
I don't remember off the top of my head what it was. But maybe the people that were backing him fell through. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Well, yeah, Bobby Bonilla Day. $1.19 million every July 1st.
Golly. And you really do still have, what is that, 15 more years. Well, good luck with that, and congratulations to Bobby Bonilla. Good on you. Today you get to collect $1.2 million. All right, so Brandon, we do have a good amount of stuff to get into today. So before we get into any of that, what is our – I mean, can we just keep rolling right now? Okay. All right, well, then let's get right into it. Let's start with the NBA and kind of combine the two stories that you and I were talking about. So I have one here that says this one's a fairly easy one, but this kind of relates to the NBA. And so Adam Silver had an interview with Time 100 Talks. So Time Magazine, one of their publications. And this is the quote he said to Time. Quote, "Never full steam ahead no matter what. One thing we're learning about this virus is One thing we are learning about this virus is much is unpredictable, and we and our players, together with their union, look at the data on a daily basis. If there were something to change that was outside of the scope of what we are playing for, certainly we would revisit our plans. We are testing daily. We haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and see spread in our community, that would, of course, be a cause to stop as well." So, I don't know. I think that struck me as significant because, again, like I said a couple minutes ago, I don't know if we have necessarily heard one of the major commissioners or someone like that kind of publicly address the idea of, you know, something changing necessarily for the worse. Just kind of had a lot of conversation about what we are doing going forward, what kind of safety precautions we're taking going forward, how we're going to be safe going forward. But I think, you know, this kind of follows the track that we've been talking about. Start to get more stories in the media, and you kind of got to announce that to the public, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of already seeing the spike and maybe the start of a second wave. I don't know. I don't know what the scientists, doctors,
yeah,
I don't know what they call it.
The smart people.
But I mean I think it's a reality of what we're gonna see whenever these leagues start back. I mean if cases start to spread and you have players that start testing positive, then I mean you may have to stop. Rob Manfred was on Dan Patrick and was talking about how they expect a spike. I mean, it's something that I mean, these leagues are worried about. Something that they're going to have to plan for. And, I mean, as fans, it would suck for these, like, we're less than a month away from these leagues coming back, just a few weeks. And it would really suck for them to have to kind of go away again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know what's crazy is technically, I mean, from now until and really even take this back a day because this is how we started the show yesterday, but you really could have started the show from Tuesday until I bet Friday. I bet we can start the next 2 days of shows as well, and I guarantee you that you could start every single day with stories about players either opting out of their respective season or testing positive. I mean, there's just been so many lately. Like even the news came out yesterday that 3 New Orleans Pelicans have tested positive.
Did they identify any of them?
I don't think so.
I'm confused as to why some
identify
and some don't. I saw where Major League Baseball is not releasing any names of positive tests. I'm not sure.
Let's see. Here's what Brian Cat Here's what Brian Cashman said in a conference call on yesterday. The information I've been given is the media will be left to try to figure that out. Somebody might be down and out, but we might not be able to speak to why, and it would be a speculating circumstance where you would have to use your journalistic superpowers to determine if there is anything there or not, what the circumstance might be. That was a really long answer to kind of say nothing. I think he was just taking a jab at the
that's what all these executives
at whoever was on it, that conference call.
That's what all those executives and general managers do. Just a long-winded answer of saying nothing.
Yeah. A lot of them are really good at that, huh?
It's their job.
Yeah.
That's what their job is.
Yeah, it's a good point. What was the story that you were talking about, though?
With Adam Silver?
Yeah.
I saw yesterday that Silver mentioned that they were considering censoring player language during the games.
Oh, on the court?
On the court. And he said that the NBA may need tape delay in Orlando.
Oh, do you think this is...
And
because
I think
there's no
that
fans?
Is a terrible idea.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, because you're gonna be able to hear what they say.
Oh, you're 100% right. The thing about UFC, like you can hear everything. Wow.
I think it's a terrible idea for tape delay. I mean, I don't know exactly what is going to be going into it, like how that would, like if it would just be, maybe. A minute, 2 minutes, I don't know. But I don't like the idea of tape delay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're going past a couple minutes, I mean, that could certainly change how, you know, we're all watching the games. My thing is this, that I do kind of wonder how frequent it'll be. And how are they going to edit it out? Like, is it going to be a sensor, right? Just like your beep tone?
I don't know. I'm not sure how they'll do it.
Because think about how annoying that would be. You just, you know, every couple of minutes, it's just trading off ambient sounds between low volume beeps and, you know, dribbles.
Yeah, I mean, I think very prevalent.
Do you just kind of, maybe you cut the volume out, but then that could be, I don't know, I feel like that would be fairly jarring in its own right.
It was in this same interview with Time. He said, I think often players, they understand when they're on the floor, they're saying certain things to each other because it's so loud in the arena. They know a lot of it's not being picked up. They may have to adapt their language a little bit, knowing what they say will likely be picked up by microphones. And in all seriousness, we may need to put a little bit of a delay. That was the quote from Silver.
I agree with you.
Personally, I would rather hear it. I mean, I think that'd be great. I think it'd be great content. But,
oh, yeah.
But I understand where the NBA's coming from. I mean, I think the biggest problem is with your sponsors, with the NBA sponsors.
Yeah, because I mean, you do got to think about who a large part of their audience are, and plenty of their audience are kids, you know, teenagers. Those are the ones that are buying the jerseys and the Steph Curry shoes, you know, and you don't really want to ever put yourself in a position where, you know, parents are having to make the decision of letting their kids watch the NBA playoffs or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they would do it. I don't know how they could make it work.
Yeah, I have no idea either. I wonder if... So, I mean, and that's one of the other things. We never saw a single basketball game, if I remember correctly, play it in an empty arena.
No.
Because Tennessee's was going to be the first one, right? On that.
It was a Thursday because the Wednesday night games in the tournament played.
Right. And so we're supposed to play that Thursday at either noon or 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that was going to be the first.
No, we've not seen any. The WWE and UFC are the only sporting events that we've seen without fans. Besides, at least here in the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen some Korean baseball and things like that that have been going on without fans, but nothing here in the States.
By the way, speaking of that, too, I mean, I don't really keep up with the Premier League or, I mean, whatever kind of soccer leagues are going on over there.
I guess they have been, too.
I don't keep up with them at all. So, you know, I don't know necessarily how long they've been going on or whatever, but I mean, at some point, maybe they're like, what are they doing, right? That we haven't done yet. I mean, they got their sport up and running. I wonder. I think I even saw a tweet from Russell yesterday about this, kind of just that, you know, whatever kind of practices they're doing are working for their big sports leagues, and meanwhile we're having our concerns. But hey. We'll continue diving through all this. We got a ton of stuff left coming up on the show today that we got to fly through in an abbreviated time because we got off to a little bit of a late start today. But that being said, we'll go ahead and catch this this commercial break right now. Come back on the other side and then see what else we can get into, including what does Johnny Majors have to do with the show today. Find out and a lot more coming up later. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 10:49. Got a couple minutes left of this hour before we really get into things in hour number two. That'll really kind of get us back on track. But before that, Brandon, did you see the news coming from Tennessee football alongside ESPN that was announced yesterday afternoon?
Yes, I did, actually. The Johnny Majors documentary thing?
Yeah. So Tennessee football announced yesterday that ESPN would be airing a hour-long documentary tribute, essentially celebrating the life and legacy of the late Tennessee legend and College Football Hall of Famer. And it will debut at 8 o'clock p.m. this Friday, July 3rd, on ESPNU.
What time?
How about that? 8 o'clock this Friday.
8 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah.
Seems like a weird time to put it on, but all right.
I don't know. I mean, I think Friday night show. Maybe you have people who aren't doing much. I mean, the night before 4th of July, maybe you have people who are kind of just resting. Maybe you got a big day on the lake the next day. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe that's what they're going for. And then it's also going to re-air on Sunday, July 5th at noon.
Okay. That's, I feel like that's better.
Are you pumped for this?
Yeah. It's what, an hour long?
Yeah.
I think it'll be good.
By the way, it will be produced by VFL Films. So that's pretty cool. So it's from our own people. Also, it says here from the official UT release, ESPNU will devote 5 hours of major tribute coverage on Friday, beginning with Tennessee's 1991 Sugar Bowl comeback victory over Virginia at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The Vols used a 20-point fourth quarter and a pair of Tony Thompson touchdowns to rally from a 23-22 win to cap the program's 100th anniversary season and Major's 14th year as head coach. Can you believe that? Hold on. So when they're talking about that 14th year as head coach, they're talking about that 1991?
Yeah.
Can you believe that that was the 100th year anniversary? And I mean, that was 30 years ago almost in its own right.
Yeah. We've been playing football for long time.
What an insanely long time. Like when you really
and
there, think
we've
about
not
it.
Even there are some that have been playing for a lot longer than that.
Did
Michigan,
you see
Yale, Rutgers?
Yeah.
And those teams have been playing forever.
Did you see that so I had written that article a little while ago, and we had talked about it a couple of times, all the quotes, right, from those old Tennessee guys. And when I was looking through that book, one of the more interesting ones that I found was a post from the Knoxville Journal in November of 1891. And it said, whoever this person was, I don't know, I didn't give a name, just said Knoxville Journal. Said, you know, the game of football is really beginning to gain a foothold in Knoxville. Huh. Little did he know.
Yeah.
That 129 years later. That's wild to me. I don't know.
When did football first start?
When was the first football game ever? I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, I think I know the first college football game was like Rutgers and Yale or Rutgers and Harvard, maybe.
All right. So, where was your original question going? Was it going when it was the first game or when it was invented?
I feel like the first game is satisfactory.
All right. Well, let's see.
And I guess college football was around before the NFL?
Well, so, I mean, it is a, like, it is derived from soccer. Is that true?
I have no idea.
When was the first football game?
Birth of pro football.
All right, I got it.
You got it?
The very first football game. Oh, my. So, first, November 6, 1869.
That was the first college football game, right? Because I think I'm looking at the same thing. Rutgers and Princeton?
Yes.
I guess that's – is that the first
– I mean – well, you had to have somebody
– Yeah, that's right. That's the first one.
So was that like the first – so the first to ever play the sport, the organized sport, was at the college level?
Yeah.
That is a ridiculously long time ago.
The first NFL game didn't come along until 1920.
What was the first sport ever created? Like, what was the very first one? All right, well, now I got to look this up. I got 1 minute to find this.
I mean,
what would you what
like? Are you talking like the first modern sport that was invented, or like just the first sport ever? Because I feel like that'd be hard to find. Be something obscure that we'd never even heard of.
What was the first sport invented? All right. According to rulesofsport.com, how much reliability you given to that?
Less than 50%.
It says wrestling was the world's first sport. No way.
I mean, I could see it. I don't know. Maybe like gladiators? Is that considered a sport?
Oh, that's a good point. All right, so here it's talking about how you had paintings with illustrated wrestlers have been found in caves all over the world from 7,000 BC in Mongolia to 6,000 BC in Libya, and in prehistoric caves in Japan, a papyrus fragment was found with wrestling instructions on it dating somewhere between 100 and 200 AD, and after all this time, it's still one of the most popular sports in the world. Also, they say running, javelin throwing, polo, hockey. Those are the five oldest sports in the world. The more you know.
Wrestling.
Like Chance likes to say. Hey, we got a full hour number two coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be good.
Does your business need...
Had to make sure the podcast was going again, too. I mean, I got a lot of stuff over here. What are the rest of them? You know the rest of them. Your fan-run radio app. You can get the app. It's on the App Store. And, of course, fanrunradio.com. Great way to stay in touch with the show. Brandon, the reason why I'm discombobulated over here is because I see... I saw a Twitter account pop up. Trey Smith, right? Offensive lineman, mm-hmm. UT. He just quote tweeted a tweet from an account called Whataburger Knoxville. And the tweet said... Knoxville, are you ready? In all caps. Like he's Triple H or something.
I had
like
this
he's Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
I had this in the doc.
Oh my goodness.
Whataburger.
So this is real.
Whataburger confirms expansion into the Southeast.
Oh my.
Has its eyes on Tennessee.
Oh my.
I don't know about Knoxville per se, but I saw an article, but like yesterday we were talking about it was behind a paywall. But the article is from the Nashville Business Journal. So I feel like definitely Nashville would get one. Probably Memphis. I don't know. Maybe Knoxville,
too. All right, so what I'm getting at here is that this account may be, you know, maybe a fake.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be affiliated with actual.
But you're saying there really is going to be an expansion.
Yes.
Where else on this whole planet does it make more sense naturally for a Whataburger to be? Think about it.
I mean,
it's not a darkened or a burnt shade of orange, if you will. I mean, I don't know how many other college towns have the perfect bright orange that similarly shares with Whataburger. It would make all the sense in the world to get a Whataburger on the strip on Cumberland Avenue, and it's orange and white glory.
So what's the closest one?
They're also this account is also having a conversation with Houston, which is also one of the reasons I was shocked, because you know you often go to a random Twitter account. It's less often that you find your coworker being tweeted out on it. What was your question? I'm sorry.
I was just looking at trying to see where some of the closest ones were.
The closest Whataburger?
Yeah.
I think Alabama.
I
think Birmingham.
How do we not have one?
Birmingham.
How do we not have one? Virginia has one.
Really?
North Carolina has one. Virginia actually has five. North Carolina has one. Mississippi has 11. Louisiana has 11. Georgia has 4. Florida has 56. Alabama has 17, and Arkansas has 8. Why don't we have one yet?
Look at me thinking I was all smart, saying, well, I know that Alabama has one in Birmingham. Oh, they have 16 more, idiot.
Yeah, they got they have 625 in Texas.
Gone are the days, so primarily there. Gone are the days, though, that, you know, it's only in Texas. They've certainly widened their range. I don't know, man. Bring a Whataburger to Knoxville. That would be fantastic. You don't even have to, you know, I don't. No matter where you stand in the burger debate, because I think it is a good one, and it needs to be had. No, I'm not saying by us right now, obviously, but, you know, the burger debate, it's good for people to have. At the very least, you're bringing a high-quality contender to the strip. So I think that everybody should be for this. All right, well, that's good news. That is terrific news to start out this hour.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it in Knoxville, though?
What?
I feel like Nashville would be the first place that they would put one, right? I mean, some of these states, like I said,
yeah, I would do
some
both.
Of these states only have one.
I would do both, but I think that hitting a college town, especially, you know, if you could somehow end up as one of those restaurants or fast food places that, you know, end up relatively close to campus, so you do kind of turn into late night college campus food. Because what are your impressions of the strip?
It's not very good.
I've always felt like it's fairly underwhelming for most.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you can go out and you can have a great time on it, and you know, we've all had plenty of great times on it, but I do kind of feel like when I've gone
it
to other places...
It leaves a little to be desired.
Yeah, when I've gone to the University of Arkansas or, you know, a Texas A&M, when I visit for a football game, I always feel like it's a little bit better. Where would you go to eat right now? Say it's a Friday night. You're back in college days. Say it's 1:30 in the morning. You want to grab some food before you go back in. You're going to what? Cookout or McDonald's?
Gus's.
I guess there's a Taco Bell there. Gus's. Okay. Most people are going to Cookout, I feel like.
Yeah.
So you need another great place that's open 24 hours that's known for late night food. I feel like you could have a real good opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where they'd put it. Seems like all they care about is building student apartments.
All right, nobody cares about the Verizon. Why did a Verizon store come in and take over where the Crystal was?
I don't know.
I mean, not that I want to. For me, I would have just rather a food company could come there. That would have been a good place for the Whataburger.
Maybe where the tin roof used to be.
The what?
The tin roof.
Oh.
It's like right across the street from Leaderboard and Taco Bell.
Yeah, I could see that.
Right beside a liquor store.
But that's more like of a restaurant. Or maybe, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
More of a traditional restaurant.
I mean, space is limited.
Yeah.
There's not much... Too busy building all those apartments.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully that happens. That would be pretty stinking cool. All right. Well, we got to get off the food conversation because I am absolutely starving right now, and we still got a good 50 minutes left in the show today. So, got to get off that. We'll get back on the sports side of things. Brandon, I'm looking at the rundown that you have for today. And still a lot of great places that we can go to. We have a couple good recruiting stories, both on the basketball and football side of things. Wow, look at that. MLB still trying to play at the Field of Dreams in 2020.
Seems like
that should be a, you know.
That should be at the bottom of their list.
Yeah.
Just play.
Yeah. Play and make the players happy and make sure that everyone's paid out reasonably and fairly before we go on. But let's go ahead and start out with that with the recruiting news. But you have a couple of big names in both basketball and football making some noise. Tony Grimes, the nation's number one ranked cornerback in 2021, has committed to the University of North Carolina. Now, look, I know that maybe Tennessee was maybe in the mix.
I mean,
they kind of, you know, I believe that they were in his whatever last group of teams he put out together. I don't necessarily know that, you know, Tennessee fans thought that they had a great chance at it, but nonetheless, you had a lot of huge schools and Mac Brown is able to land a huge target.
Two things.
Okay.
First, at least he didn't go to Alabama.
Yeah.
Because that's where we all...
This is fantastic.
That's where we all thought he was going to go, right?
Uh-huh.
So, at least he didn't go to Alabama. But...
Yeah.
How the hell is Mac Brown recruiting like this? He's been out of the game for years. 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 And just pops back in at North Carolina. Has a decent season last year. And now, North Carolina has they moved ahead of us. We moved down. They're into the number three.
You're kidding?
No, they are number three. They are number three, number two in the SEC behind Clemson.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
How?
I mean, barely, but man.
And they only have 17 commits. We're up at 24, 25, 23, however
what?
Many. Yeah.
They have, okay, so we have the same amount of 5 stars. They have 2 more 4 stars, and we have 8 more 3 stars?
All I'm saying is that it's a little fishy.
Oh, buddy.
That Mac Brown can just take all this time. When was his last year at Texas? 2010? 2011?
That sounds very correct. We'll go with that and I'll correct you if you're
right. Because they went to the championship in 2009 and lost to Alabama. I'm wanting to say 2011.
All right, so 13.
13 was his last year?
98 to 13.
So?
And then off until 19.
6 years. Six.
Did you
of being an analyst.
Did you know that he's from Cookeville?
Yeah.
I did not. I'm sure most people around here did, but I did not.
He won some award, like at the Orange and White game every year. They give out the quarterback club gives out these awards, and he won it 1 year.
Okay,
I can't remember which one it was, but yeah.
Continue on though.
I just think it's a little fishy. Something's up. Something's up. How do you go from being absent from the game for 6 years?
All right. What could they be selling? Right? Like, what is it that North Carolina could possibly be selling to recruits? Like, is it the idea of, hey, we know Clemson's there, but look, who's behind them?
Yeah, I mean, really,
we have every
opportunity
in the world.
There's
now you're telling recruits, I mean, look at Clemson. Like, they are self-imploding. The crown could be ripe for the taking. Maybe that's his pitch. I don't know, but I mean, sure, people may be saying that about Tennessee, but then again, like Tennessee and North Carolina in the sport of football, like our programs are not comparable. So at Tennessee, I think you can still sell the dominance of the SEC, you know, the ability to have the opportunity to compete for a starting position early in your career at Tennessee. Like, I think those are all good things that no one's really questioning, that you have the ability to sell. But
I don't know. Maybe I'm just underappreciating Mac Brown.
Wow.
Tommy Thigpen, VFL Tommy Thigpen, was involved in the recruitment of Tony Grimes.
Huh. Would you look at that. In other recruiting news, Brandon, the next LeBron James has found his school. That's what they're saying. They are saying that that this kid, Amani Bates, strong comparisons to LeBron, to the greats, to the next once-in-a-generation player. Although, we've been told that, you know, Zion Williamson is a once-in-a-generation player. LeBron James is a once-in-a-generational player. There's a lot of once-in-a-generational players. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Like who?
Like LeBron and Zion.
Well, I mean, I guess that's... I mean, LeBron can't... Well, that
Are
was,
they their own?
That was 2003. And then Zion was... I mean, I guess he... 2000 and what, 18?
Yeah.
2018. I mean, that's 15 years. I feel like that's a new generation of fan.
Yeah, but you got other guys who have closed the gap, right? Like, I feel like you hear that a lot nowadays. I feel like that's a buzzword for certain players. It's very cliche. Anyways, I feel like I'm probably just on a tangent.
No,
got there was because I brought it up. I said it myself.
No, I'm with you because I don't know. Imagine being this kid.
Yeah.
Imagine being this kid and before you've even played your first college game, you've already got people calling you the next LeBron James. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want that if I were a basketball player. The pressure.
And
if you don't live up to that, then you're a bust, a failure.
Oh man, and people will let you know. It's the trouble of social media nowadays.
But yeah, Imani Bates commits to Michigan State. I'm a little surprised, especially given what we've seen recently with players going straight to the G League. I'm a little surprised that he doesn't take that option, and I guess it's not completely off the table.
No. He has a perfect score in the 247 composite rankings. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
He has 100?
Yes. Well, I mean, on the composite 1.0. What does that mean? He's number one all the way across the board on every single site?
Yeah.
Wow. 6'8", 200 pounds. Have you seen the his hometown in Michigan?
No.
Ypsilanti. You ever heard of that?
No.
I think that's how you say it. YPS. How are you going to start a word in the English language with YPS?
Yips. I don't know.
It's what they call it.
Maybe the Y is silent.
It's what they
maybe
call
it. Maybe the P is silent. I don't know.
Slanty? Slanty?
I don't know. English is kind of hard. They say
yeah.
That English is yeah. the most difficult language to learn.
Well, so here's what I feel like, right? Like, I feel like, you know, Spanish is very hard for, like, I think that Spanish is completely different than English because, you know, it there's a lot of, it's basically like a giant flow chart, right? How you have certain, you know, certain words and, you know, all of the they endings are going to be the same. All of the he, she endings are going to be the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to that. Which I feel like makes it more difficult, but at the same time, English just has like some weird, weird, weird things. Like how the same exact word pronounced the same exact way can mean two completely different things that have nothing in common.
Yeah.
Like rock. It is a thing that came from the earth. It is a motion that you can do. You can rock back and forth. It is a multi-billion-dollar entertainment icon, even if you will. Hmm. Not that like that's a definition. Like you wouldn't find that in Merriam-Webster's, but you know, for the sake of the argument.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like English probably is a difficult language.
And they have all English has all the rules, all the different rules, as far as I don't know. That's just what they say. Different spellings.
Yeah.
I feel like Mandarin would be hard, too.
I feel like any language that is not English would be extremely hard. And I have some first-hand experience with Spanish.
The hardest languages for English speakers. Number one, Mandarin.
Why? Is that just because, like, the translation, I guess?
I don't know. This is just from Babel. I don't know. Let's go with Babel. Babel.com.
Yeah, sure.
Six hardest languages for English speakers to learn. Mandarin Chinese.
Okay.
Arabic. Polish. Russian. Turkish. And Danish.
Is there a language that you really wish you knew how to speak?
Not really.
Yeah, me neither.
I feel like it'd be
me neither.
I feel like it'd be a little helpful to be able to speak Spanish fluently.
Uh huh.
I feel like that's probably the most.
Yeah.
Like the most applicable.
Yeah.
Language. I don't know. I mean,
is being bilingual overrated?
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty cool. I mean,
okay, yes, but in terms
like to be
of,
able to track
in
like,
terms of productivity.
I don't know. I mean, it'd
look,
help you get another job.
Yeah. Good. Well, they say that, but I don't know. My sister is. I just found out is actually minoring in Spanish. She's at OU right now, but she added that to her. She added that to her her schedule late. Decided to take a minor in Spanish. I thought that was kind of crazy, but you know how I was telling you last week that that brand new iPhone update was announced. Even they have a new feature in that, to where you know they basically have their own version of Google Translate finally. So you know you basically if you were speaking French, right? Say I decided to take a trip to Canada, right? And I went to one of the French-speaking regions, and you were there as a French-speaking man. You know, we could have a conversation through the iPhone app. So all I'm saying is, you know, maybe it's not as important today to learn multiple languages.
Maybe not.
But then again, you know, I don't know. All that stuff makes you smarter. And I say that as a person who wishes he could speak Spanish better. Maybe I'm just jealous. More sports, more stuff, right on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. So, minor league baseball season has officially come to an end. Gone before it even started. Minor League Baseball announces yesterday that they face an uncertain future over a canceled season. While the MLB is obviously still trying to continue with theirs coming up this fall. Here's what they say. This is according to Baseball America. So they say it's north of half of MILB teams who could either have to sell or go insolvent without government or other help. This is the perfect storm. There are many teams that are not liquid, not solvent. I could see this economic impact lingering into 2022, 2023 easily, in some cases, probably a little bit longer. That's, you know, basically what he's warning about, the about half or possibly even more of minor league baseball teams could be forced to sell or fold completely.
Well, I mean, these minor league teams are, and it's not like they're rolling in the cash.
No.
I mean, they're doing all they can to make a profit during the season. I mean, it stinks. I mean, I feel like everybody loves going to a minor league game, going out and having some fun. It's not about the baseball, but.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. It is, I remember going to countless, you know, minor league baseball games and double A baseball games when I was a kid, you know, and it was fun just going to the, it was a little bit more of a smaller ballpark, but, you know, as a kid, you still kind of get that big ballpark feel. And you know, that's unfortunate that a lot of teams are going to be in some serious trouble after this. Minor league baseball, they've had a season every single year since 1901. And I'm telling you, man, like this is one of those moments that I come around and I think back around on when, you know, how it's crazy to me that, like, you know, what are the other things that are just going to be so routine for the next 100 years? And then people are always going to look back on this year, on this era in time, say, man, look at that. You know, what is it? Well, the G League, you know, has not been canceled since 2020 during the coronavirus pandemic. That's one of those wild things.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at this from like the baseball side of things, I mean, what's the impact that this has on Major League Baseball? Because it's not just like, okay, minor league baseball is not going to play and it has no repercussions for the big leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their farm system.
Yeah, I mean, think how many – everyone knows that the grind, if you will, in baseball is totally different than any other sport. I mean, and football – I mean, and most of these sports, you're being drafted because that team needs starting help. Joe Burrow was drafted because the Cincinnati Bengals needed a starting quarterback. Trey Young was drafted because the Hawks needed a starting point guard. Baseball is completely different. You could have the best prospect in the whole country, spend the better part of 3, 4, 5 years in the minor leagues before making their debut. And I think that, you know, we've heard a lot of stories, whether it's from books or movies or documentaries or things like that, that life is tough for minor leaguers. Like, it is a tough route because of what you said, Brandon. Like, the money is already, you know, you don't expect MILB to be rolling in cash or have crazy excessive amounts of cash. So what do you do if you are the Atlanta Braves, when you know you have your whole roster and you have your taxi squad even for this year, but I mean guys that you're thinking about 5 years from now? Well, if their team goes down, well, then you have a ton of people about where they're going to play. How are they going to make money? Are they going to be able to stay in baseball? Now you just spend all these resources, you just spent so much on investing in these players when you might not have them in the future. And that's not even counting the more human side of it. You know, just these players are losing their jobs, you know? These players expected to hopefully work their way into a position where they could be making these contracts for, you know, six figures to support their family.
And it's like, Especially like the guys that have been in like AAA for a few years.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel like if you've been in if you're playing AAA for a while and you've not, I mean, those guys, feel for those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think on the surface, you could, if somebody wasn't a big sports fan or maybe wasn't as tuned into baseball as some others, you know, you might look at this story on the ESPN headlines this morning and kind of glance over it. Just see, oh, hey, look at that. Minor League Baseball, they cancel their season. And there's a little bit to speculate on, which we're doing right now, and, you know, stuff like that. But you are 100% right. And the long-term effects of this could be devastating. I mean, like, look how scared these major professional organizations were about missing one season. Look how scared MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL were, MLS, Premier League, whoever else, WWE, UFC, PGA. They could not afford to miss a season. So they're doing everything they possibly can, even if, you know, half their players are having to test positive.
And don't forget, maybe the most important, or the ones that are maybe most reliant, your colleges and universities.
Great point. 1,000%. Great point. So if you're telling me that the University of Tennessee, MLB, and the NBA are all struggling to figure out how they're going to go forward without the revenue from this season, then, you know, I can only imagine what minor league baseball is going forward. And you got to imagine that, you know, like this says from, you know, J.J. Cooper from Baseball America, he talks about how, you know, many teams are not liquid, not solvent. He sees this lingering into 2022, 2023. And I agree with what, you know, he says at the end here. If you see that start to happen, I think you're now well into the conversation of, you know, what is the true future of minor league baseball? Not just kind of, hey, you know, what's the future of this one season? What is the long-term future? Now, I got to imagine that there could be ways to get it back, and, you know, I'm sure they're doing everything they can, but, man, seems like a story that you could totally glance over, but in reality...
Yeah, I mean, when you see it...
Maybe has the most consequences of any story today, right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you see it, oh, minor league baseball's canceled. Oh, okay. But then whenever you kind of dive into it, like you said, I mean, it's going to have an impact moving forward. I think definitely for minor league baseball in the years going forward, but I mean I think for the major leagues as well.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy too. Maybe there's people out there who don't necessarily understand, you know, how much the professional league could be affected by this, and not even could, but will be affected by this in the case of something going down. I mean, I really can't just stop thinking about, you know, how players are going to lose their job, and you know, you think about they're having to face the question of, are they ever going to play baseball again? Been working for this opportunity for years.
Yeah.
Man, that is tough. Every single day we see how COVID is affecting the sports world in new and different ways. And this, unfortunately, is one of the sadder ones. But hey, that's just, it is what it is. We'll see what we can get into. Hopefully we can find a little bit of a better story. We can find a way to laugh or smile or whatever it may be. On the other side of the break, don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go, back here on The Blitz, 11:39 a.m. I'd say the show's gone by real fast today, but it's because a fair chunk of it was cut out. So I guess that makes sense, you know. All right, so let's see. We've done what we could today. Again, a little bit of a short show, so not as much time to get into everything, but we have tried to take a look at the biggest story so far. So let's go back to, I don't know, what are we going to next, Brandon? Are we going back to the NBA out of the stories that you were just, oh no, I wanted to, that was it. What was the college football story that you were just telling me about? Because that sparked a different story that I had seen that I wanted to bring up with you on the show.
So the Fox College Football account on Twitter tweeted out a graphic of a Big Ten SEC challenge in football. So you know how the you know how they do the Big 12 SEC challenge in basketball, and you had the crossover conference matchups.
Yep.
They proposed a Big Ten SEC challenge in football, and then had some different matchups on there.
All right, so I'm looking at it right now. Are you content?
I think that would, I would love that.
I would.
I'd like to see it. Tennessee, they have Tennessee matched up against Michigan. I think a lot of people have been wanting to see that matchup for a long time.
I think so too. Certainly, I think Michigan is one of those fantasy names that people kind of throw out during bowl prediction season, maybe some, you know, sometimes. I mean, wasn't that a name last year that people were throwing around?
Potentially, yeah. A few of the other ones that they have listed on here, I guess they just took each team, like the top, how each team finished in their conference and just matched them up.
Yeah.
Ohio State and LSU. I don't know if it has the same appeal without Joe Burrow, but you know, interesting. Penn State and Georgia, Wisconsin and Florida, Alabama and Minnesota. No thanks. I don't want to see that. Auburn and Iowa, Tennessee, Michigan, A&M, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan State, Mississippi State, Illinois, Nebraska, South Carolina, Purdue, Missouri. I think we've already seen that one. And then Northwestern, Ole Miss, Maryland, Vanderbilt, and Rutgers, Arkansas. After the last four, I don't care about. I would like to see South Carolina and Nebraska. I think that one would be interesting. Really, I don't care all that much about Mississippi State and Illinois. I think that one would be boring too.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky, Michigan State, maybe.
I'll tell you what, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because, you know, I really don't know what it is. But for me, like, the Big Ten is And I feel like by a pretty good margin, like one of the most least interesting conferences. And I know certainly you have your Ohio State and your Penn State and Michigan and even Michigan State to an extent. And I think Wisconsin as well. But really, like, once you get past those, it's just a bunch of teams that are hard for me to find interest in. If it's like a random, if it's a good college football matchup or a good college basketball game or something along those lines, like it's just, even if you did have a Minnesota-Alabama game, sometimes it's just hard for me to find interest in Minnesota, even if they're good, or Iowa.
Because they're boring.
Yeah, exactly. They're so boring.
They're boring, slow.
Illinois, Nebraska, Purdue.
I feel like Nebraska could be a team that makes that jump into the next tier if things go well with Scott Frost. So far, they've not. So far, they've not. But I think you give them another year, maybe two. I think they could make that jump in that next year.
Nebraska is one of those schools that, like, I fully, you know, acknowledge, you know, where they are in the college football history powerhouse lore and fully, you know, fully respect them for everything like that. But that's one of those ones where, for me, only ever been told that I need to respect.
Tread lightly, Rick.
What do you mean?
Tread lightly.
What do you mean?
People say that we are mirror images of each other.
I know. Okay, well, I was going to go there as well. But I don't necessarily think that's true. I think you've seen Tennessee a lot more relevant in, you know, off the field for a multitude of reasons, both good and bad. But, I mean, you could, I mean.
I don't know. I think they've probably had more success than us recently.
Yeah.
I mean, Bo Pelini was winning 9 games every year.
Look, you know what? Let's be honest. For a lot of people, Tennessee kind of is that way.
Yeah.
I mean, Nebraska is
certainly. If we're being honest with ourselves, that's.
Yeah.
It's how people view us.
Nebraska is certainly one of those schools that I feel like I only just, you know, acknowledge and respect is because I've told. You know, I've been told that, hey, that's a school that we acknowledge and respect as being one of the greats, you know, in the history books. But for me, it's like, oh, okay, well, I've never seen it myself or I've never really seen them get close. So, you know, their games don't give me any kind of interest or anything like that. But, all right, okay. I do fully realize that they were there. And
like I said, I think they could be one of the teams that kind of makes the jump to that next tier just because Scott Frost and they've got Adrian Martinez, I think he could get him there. I think he has the ability to get him there. Willie,
You say? Their quarterback?
Adrian Martinez, the one that we were very
VFL?
Close to. Yeah, VFL Adrian Martinez.
Almost. Still disappointed about that one.
Yeah.
But oh well.
I don't know. He's not really panned out.
Yeah, I guess
that's true.
At Nebraska,
not yet.
I guess that's true. And, you know, I know. We talk about it quite often, and it's very polarizing, very controversial. But, and I know that you know the big old question mark stamped onto this year. But look, I think we're doing pretty good in the quarterback department going forward. I think we got, what is it? Certainly two guys that you are extremely excited about going forward: Harrison Bailey and Caden Salter. And you got a couple other guys who can ball out as well. Again, I know a lot of people like to put a big question mark, big frowny face, some people even, on the situation for this year. I don't know if it's necessarily as bad as you think it's going to be. Because, look, at the worst-case scenario, you got a really good quarterback right in the background. Huh? Maybe they keep JG a little bit longer than you hope for. I don't know. But, look, worst-case scenario is not, you know, what you had last year. Worst-case scenario is better than what you had last year, at the very least. All right, I know. Obligatory Jared Garantano talk. Either way, what I'm trying to say, the moral of the story, is that I think Tennessee's quarterback situation looks good headed forward.
Heading forward.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not as pessimistic as some people. But
some. Sure. Well, Brandon, it's been a quick day, and we are already about at that time. Got to catch a quick break here, come back on the other side, and then we're done. We're going to wrap up the show with the final segment of the Blitz coming up next. We'll do a little bit of If You Haven't Heard. We'll tell you a couple more quick things on the other side, and then get you ready for Talk Sports. So, hey, don't go anywhere.
You sit there in your heartache.
Introducing the...
All right, here we go. Final segment of the Blitz here today as we are wrapping up the show. Been a pretty good show today. I've had a lot of fun. Hopefully you've had some good fun along the way. But let's go ahead and close it out like we always do with a little bit of If You Haven't Heard. Brandon, would you like to start us off today?
Sure.
Go for it.
Well, Rick, if you haven't heard, this morning Jeremy Pruitt went on the Dan Patrick Show. He had this to say. He said that Tennessee football still has had zero football players test positive for COVID-19. I find to be insane.
Shocking.
That you have had no positive tests.
Especially knowing that you've had two positive cases within the basketball team. Now, granted, maybe they aren't using any similar facilities right now, but I mean, still, take everything into consideration. That's it's pretty surprising. But good on them. I mean, I guess that means whatever they're doing, it's working.
Yeah.
Whatever they're doing over there, and I do want to give credit to both the players and the staff for that, because you got to imagine that the players are at least as minimal as possible, not going out and, really probably keeping to themselves. All right, good stuff. Maybe on tomorrow's show, because, like you had said, that interview with Pruitt and Dan Patrick was going on during our show today. So there'll probably be some good nuggets that come out of that. We'll probably talk about that on tomorrow's show. How about this? If you haven't heard, NFL Live is getting a new team, and it is officially been finalized. So, Brand, you said you had not seen this yet.
No.
All right, so here we go. So, NFL Live's brand new team. Your main host, Laura Rutledge.
Okay.
Strong.
I like Laura Rutledge.
And then your analysts are Marcus Spears.
Okay.
Solid.
Yeah.
Like him on the SEC show. Although, they're going to have to fill that. Dan.
Both of those, Laura Rutledge and
Spears. Yeah, great point. Dan Orlovsky.
No.
Or Vlosky, whatever. Yeah, he's the buzzkill that I was talking about. That one's unfortunate.
Dan Orlovsky.
He's such a nerd. He's just such a dweeb.
I like the other
dork.
Two. I like the other two.
And then you got Mina Kimes.
I don't know who that is.
I'm unfamiliar with her. I think she does. I don't know. I've certainly seen her before, although I didn't recognize her name. And then last but not least, Keyshawn Johnson.
Okay.
Not bad.
I feel like he's not been, like he's been gone for a while.
Yeah, like he's, I like can't he, really think he of used what to he's be, been doing lately.
He used to be on some NFL show that ESPN had, uh-huh. Right?
No, but, was he a Fox guy?
Keyshawn Johnson?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he's always been ESPN.
Else. All right. Well, that's it. ESPN's new NFL Live team.
Well, Rick, if you haven't heard,
and maybe the most important news of the day,
HBO has renewed Curb Your Enthusiasm for an 11th season.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Congratulations to you, Larry David.
I am pumped.
I am thrilled about this. You and Cody got me to watch, or you guys were the reason why I ever started watching this show in the first place. Watched the for the first time ever, watched a full season live with you guys, and some of my favorite TV ever, including, in my opinion, my all-time funniest TV moment is in that show.
I think it's the funniest show ever.
Sure.
For me, it's the best TV comedy I've ever seen.
It is the
And I've not even finished it yet. I'm only through six seasons, and I've seen season 10.
It is the epitome of a show with perfect timing. And that's what makes it great, right? It's not just great jokes. It's not just kind of, you know, great slapstick stuff, but it's all good timing. That's the best. Well, there we go. I guess that wraps it up for us today. We are done for the day. We'll see you back same time, same place tomorrow for Brandon Ork. I'm Rick Beller. Top Sports coming up next. You've been listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Have a great day.
Smith Family Dentistry is